So here's the deal. I'm going to kind of deviate a little bit from the norm, and I just want to take a few minutes and talk to you. It's like, where do we go from here? What do we do from here? What do we need to do as a church family? What do I need to do? And I want you to understand something. When we talk about what we're doing together as a church, it's us. And we're talking about refreshing the facilities, providing the high security entrance, fixing and repairing stuff so that we can have a foundational home to launch out the gospel to our community for the next 20 years. But we're the church. You and I, we're the church. And so we have got to engage in what God's doing in the world. And the good news is this, we don't do that on our own, you know. God works in us to work through us to the praise of his name. But here's my concern. Not just for our church, for the church in general around the world. It's particularly in America. I think we're way too concerned about being cool and being secure. We've got more and more people that are, as believers, we're more preoccupied with our own personal security, our worldly security, when it comes to financially and where we're going to live and what it looks like and all that stuff, than we are with eternity. And we've become more preoccupied with politics than we are with Jesus. We've become more enamored with personal possessions and what somebody has than we are with the treasure of the gospel of Jesus. And you say, well, you're making me feel real uncomfortable. I hope so. I hope we're all feeling real uncomfortable. We ought to feel uncomfortable with that. I want you to know that every single person, even believers who've known Christ for a long time, we're all in danger of drifting into that. We have to fight that all the time. It's called the flesh. It's one of our enemies. And it's always working against us to draw us and get us attracted and distracted by other things in the world so that we're not on mission. This morning when I was reading, I try to listen through the Bible every year on Logos Bible app. And this morning I was listening. And I was stopped at a light going into the square thinking about the day. And this passage came up. And I paused it, and I went back and looked at it. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and make your way there. 1 Corinthians 10. This is one of those verses I've heard, probably thousands of times in my life, you know. And when I read it, you'll hear it. You'll say, oh, I know that verse. But I just really wanted to think about it again because it was on today's reading. It was one of the New Testament passage that was on today's reading. 1 Corinthians 10, look down at verse 31. You remember this? Paul writes, so, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I just had to stop and ask myself this question sitting at the stoplight in the dark this morning on the way to church. Am I doing that? I mean, he's talking about primarily basic things, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do. I mean, he's not talking about showing up for church, teaching a Bible study, preaching a sermon, being on mission, going on a mission trip. He's talking about eating and drinking. Some of the basic things in life, those basic necessities, do it all for the glory of God. Now, the interesting thing is how he follows that up. This is what really got my attention. Give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. And this statement just really blasted me because I always hear people say, you can't please everyone, right? So Paul says, down in verse 33, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do. And if you were to stop there, you'd think, man, you can't please everyone. There's no way to please everyone. Listen to what he says. Not seeking my own advantage. And this is where I think we err so often. This is why, as a church in the world, we don't effectually see God at work in us and through us, where we see remarkable evidence of God's hand, is because what he says after that. He said, not seeking my own advantage. We're always seeking our own advantage. What's in it for me? I mean, even in talking about giving, I've had people say, well, what's in it for me if I give? What do you mean, what's in it for you? What are you talking about? And sometimes we give just because we want to give so that we think that God may bless us and we may get more. That's never the scripture. That's never the picture of the scripture. We give, and God gives so that we can give more. not for our own personal advantage. What he says is this, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many. Well, what advantage should they have? That they may be saved. That's the mission, isn't it? That's the greater things. That's the greater things he's talking about, that they may be saved. I read one church's mission statement. You know what it is? People without Jesus go to hell. And that's offensive, isn't it? It should be, because hell is offensive. Hell is offensive. It's real, but it's heartbreaking. You know what? The reason I said that is because how do we think about that? How do we think about when our neighbor, who we know, doesn't know Jesus? How often is that on our mind and on our heart? How much does that burden us? When our mom or dad, who are not Christians, and we're interacting with them every day, how much does that burden us that they need to know Jesus? When God brings somebody in our life that's a friend, and we start talking to them, they say, "Well, I'm not a believer. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe he's a Savior." How much does that bother us? What do we change about how we live? What I want you to understand, if we're going to see greater things, God do greater things, not just in us, but with the same attitude that Paul had, not to my own advantage, but that it may be for the advantage of others, that they may be saved, then there's some things that we've got to do. In fact, we need to understand why we should live that kind of life on mission. And I want to just give you five things today to think about why this is important. One is, why should we devote ourselves to God's mission? Because you were made for it. You're made for it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 tells us that everything God's made is made for his glory. You were made for the glory of God. You were made to be on mission for him. And I was too. And so anything else we do, and we get all motivated about those, they're sideshows. It's not the main attraction. It's not the main thing. And so you start thinking about, do I raise my kids for the glory of God? Do I raise my grandkids for the glory of God? Do I teach the class for the glory of God? Do I go to work for the glory of God? Do I love on my family for the glory of God? Do every area of my life, do I filter that through the glory of God? Because I am on mission for him. I'm made for that, not for anything else. Second thing is this. You cannot do anything greater than live out the mission God has made for you in this world. I mean, there is nothing greater you can do. I tell you one thing that really cracks me up is when somebody's speaking, like going to speak to a group, and they go through all the things that they've accomplished. And I know why they do that, so that people will listen to them, but they're just piling on the praise. You know, they did this, they went to school here, they got this degree, they've written this many books. What is that? Just trying to impress people, aren't we? So listen, I mean, you can add all that up, and it doesn't even begin to light the match compared to the light, the power of just saying, you know, this person has lived their life on mission for Jesus. That's what we're about. Third thing is, the mission of the gospel has irreplaceable eternal significance. There's nothing greater in your life or mine. There's nothing more important than we know Jesus and live for him. But I think as believers, sometimes we live and we give the impression to the world that the other things are a whole lot more important. Now, I'm going to take a quick minute to get on a hobby horse. Okay? And the hobby horse is this, when we let so many things get in the way of Sundays with our kids. When we start playing baseball, I guarantee you that the park behind my house has probably got 2,000 people in it right now playing baseball with their kids. They'll get together and pray with them before the game and say, Jesus is more important. But none of them are in church today telling their kids what's most important. They're on the field saying, baseball is king. It's an idol. Same thing with soccer. Same thing, all kinds of sports that we do. And we'll miss church for months. Now, I know occasionally we're going to be out. I mean, I'm not saying you got to be here every Sunday, and I don't want to have a legalistic attitude toward it. I'm just saying, when those things become primary for us, we've missed it. We're saying the irreplaceable eternal significance is in what you do, what you accomplish, what you have. And that's not true. The fourth thing is this: the mission of God gives our lives meaning. You want to have a fulfillment and meaning in your life? Do live your life on mission for Jesus. There's nothing like it. And then the last thing is this: living on mission for God brings God glory. And I want you to jot down this verse, John 15, verse 8. Be a good one to put somewhere in your house, somewhere where you see it every day. And this is, these are the words of Jesus. He says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." You with me? "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove yourselves, demonstrate that you're my disciples." And you know what? Here's the good news. Every single one of us can do it. Not because we're great, not because we're smart, not because we're talented, but because God is an all-powerful God, and He is at work in us and through us to the glory of His name. So how are we going to get there? How are we going to get there? One is we need Matthew 6:33 to become the heartbeat of our life, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and let everything else be added as a sidebar. And the second is that the four things that we just started with in this whole greater things. One, pray fervently. Pray. Be in a continuous conversation with God daily in prayer so that God's shaping your heart, refining your attitude, your perspective, guarding your life with His grace and goodness and the power of His Spirit. I mean, we got to have that, because the moment you let your guard down is the moment He pulls the rug out from under your feet. Second thing, commit fully. We've got to be all in. We need to be fully committed to the gospel in every way, in every aspect of our life, home, work, play, everywhere we go, every day, not just when we're on a mission trip or Sunday or Wednesdays. We don't reserve it for godly conversations. Every conversation and every day is God's day in our life. We need to cheer loudly. We need to be about the business of making Him known to every single person that we meet and that God puts in our life to influence for His glory. And then last, we need to give generously. And I'm not just talking about our financially. I'm talking about of our time, our talents, and the treasure that God has entrusted to us. All those things belong to Him, and we live generously. Man, the influence and impact of the gospel changes the world. You know, I thought about it this morning, but I thought about it again in between services. During the message this morning, one of our members brought a member, and I shared this with you. As I walked out into the lobby, he was standing out there, and they introduced me to him, actually a couple of his friends. As I started talking to him, he not only told me he wasn't a believer, he told me he was an atheist. He said, "Religion's all about power and money." In fact, he told me that he had died on the operating table, was dead for 4.5 minutes. He said, "I didn't see my mama, I didn't see pearly gates, I didn't see a bright light, and I didn't see God. There is no God. I'm not afraid to die." And when I walked away from that conversation, I told him I wanted to take him to lunch. I wanted to have a further conversation. I had to check my own heart. Can I just walk away from that conversation? Not think about it anymore? And just walk away from that conversation, not caring? And just walk away from that conversation? Well, everybody's got a choice to make. Or am I going to walk away thinking, man, I need to pray for God to work. I need to be an instrument where God can work through me. And I need to pray that He comes to know Jesus, because heaven and hell are real places of eternal existence. And compared to eternity, 4.5 minutes is awful short. And the most important thing in his life is to know Jesus, saying, "You know what? He came to church. He sat right here. that ought to bother us if we really believe what we believe. We go to work and our coworker doesn't believe in Jesus, it ought to bother us enough to pray. It ought to bother us enough to share with compassion the love of Christ. It ought to bother us enough to wake us up at night and pray. It ought to bother us enough when the opportunity arises time and again. We are persistent in sharing the hope and love that we have in Christ because nothing else matters but you know Jesus. Listen, it matters most. And it's all that matters. God is at work in us and giving us an opportunity to do greater things for Him in this community. And what I'm saying is, listen, thank you for saying we're in. Now let's finish what He has started. Stay submitted to His will, empowered by His presence, and every day on mission to impact the world with the greatest news they've ever heard, and that is that Jesus still saves. Maybe you're here today and God's been working in your heart, and it's sometimes it's difficult. A lot of things that we do as men get in the way of the gospel. But God's been breaking through that and beginning to see that it's real and this is true. And what you need more than anything in the world is to know Jesus. I pray today you'll trust Him for your salvation. And maybe you're here and you're a believer and yet you've become cold to the lost world because it's so hard. And you need God to light a fire in your own soul. Man, I urge you in this invitation time to pray. God, listen, do not let me become dull. Don't let me become numb to the gospel and to the mission of the gospel. Don't let me become distracted by the things in the world, even the things that I think I need in this world. Work in me and use me every day for the praise of your great name. Listen, I pray for each of us in this room and what we do. I don't know when our last day will be, but I pray at the end, when the end is here, that you and I can say we have lived on mission. And we will die for the glory of God. So let's live for Him. Greater things are still ahead. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for the opportunity to be a part of what You're doing in the world. We pray that You will continue Your great work in us to the praise of Your name. And I pray for those that need to know You. There are people all around us that need to know You. This isn't a game. This isn't fake. It really isn't about us at all. It's all about You and about Your great love. And I pray today that even those in this room that need to know You, that Your Holy Spirit would break through the hardness and coldness that sometimes the world can bring. And the light of the gospel shine into their soul and show them this is the truth. You didn't come to tell us the truth. You are the truth. You didn't come to show us the way. You are the way. You didn't come so that we might find life. You are life. And I pray today that they would come to know You as their Savior. And I pray for believers, ignite in us a holy passion that can't be extinguished by anything in this world, so that every day You're using us to the full extent of Your grace and power to impact the world with the goodness of Jesus. Lord, do greater things. Do greater things in us. Do greater things with us. May it all be for the glory of Your great name. And we'll give You praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.